Hey, it's Campus XM, Darren Johnson. All right, I haven't recorded in a while, and I want to record something. I'll keep it at about a half hour just to keep my queue spot on Apple Podcasts. So here I am. It's the summer of sweatpants, late May 2019. I live in deep upstate New York, moved from downstate, used to live on Long Island, and there are subtle differences. I'd say the winter lasts like another month upstate, and the summer is probably about a month shorter. And what is summer, what is winter? It's pretty much when you start to get into a certain temperature range where you don't need a coat anymore. That's where things start to change. And I'm still wearing a little jacket here. Although I'm in a parking lot outside a grocery store. I see a woman in a wife beater t-shirt. So maybe she's feeling the summer weather. But it's 69 degrees. Not too bad. Not too good. Just about right. The bugs are just starting to pop out. So I have a few bugs on my windshield. And that's that. My local newspaper is not really like giving the same effort anymore. And it's like when you visit a relative and you see that relative maybe every 8 months or year or two or something like that. And you notice like they're losing a step here or there. And I notice like my local newspaper, it covers, a couple of counties up in this rural area. It's starting to show a lack of care. They did have a separate classified section, but recently they just turned it into about a page and a half, 2 pages. They tack it onto the back of the, like a business page. So they'll have some stories about a local business or two. Then they'll throw in a couple of AP stories about business in general. And then they'll have a page or two of classifieds, and there's almost nothing of interest in there anymore, and it just shows a lack of care. For example, a couple of years ago, I was looking for a job, and I said, "Well, I get this newspaper in the mail. In my little newspaper tube every day, and let me look in there. Look in there for a job." That's how I used to do it back in the day. That's how I found my first journalism job, was an ad in a newspaper. And I said, why not? You're reading the newspaper anyway, why not? And I applied to a couple, and I actually got real responses, and they could have turned into something. One of them I turned down because I already found a job, but they did respond. And another one, I went on an interview, and then they hired someone else. So I did get 2 real bites via a print newspaper by responding to help wanted ads. Nowadays, I do like, there are all these job sites, and I'm in the world of higher education, so there's higher ed jobs, and the Chronicle of Higher Education, and Inside Higher Ed, and Times Higher Education. There's all these different, LinkedIn has educational components, and Monster even does, and there's like different ways to find a job nowadays. And I find that if I apply for the jobs, I'm lucky to get even an automated response if I apply. I'm lucky to get that. I'm lucky to get like, okay, we got your application, and I'm lucky to get that. Then I'm super lucky if they send me a form letter in a month or so saying, oh yeah, we decided to go in a different direction. Sorry, it's a form, but it tries to make you feel better and says that, your skills just didn't match, but you were a great candidate. And they send that to everyone. Even like the people that just, there are people, if you ever post an online ad, who just apply to every job imaginable, even though they're not qualified, because it's so easy to apply to an online ad. So, they'll even send that same response to some guy with a GED who worked at, Walmart part-time and got fired. And he decided to send a job for assistant vice president at a large university. He'll send that, he'll send an application in. And he'll get the same exact response that I would get. All right, so that's fair. Fair enough. But usually you get no response. Usually you get no response whatsoever. You have no clue what happened. And then if you reply, hey, you know what happened? I thought I fit this job description perfectly. They'll give you some gobbledygook. If they do reply, they'll say, oh, yeah, the committee. They don't know what the committee did. And so, in a way, hiring practices have gotten shadier. You know, like, they can hire people and do these little searches, and they don't really have to reply to anyone. They're not really accountable to anyone. Whereas in the past, at least, if someone had to fax in or mail in a resume and a cover letter, and they'd have to, you know, they couldn't just apply to everything because you'd have to pay 50 cents for a stamp, whatever a stamp costs. And I think it's 55 cents now. You know, you'd have to at least pay for the stamp, and people would buy special resume paper or something. So it wasn't easy to apply for a job. So people got a good quality batch of applications. And why wouldn't this work anymore? Why wouldn't that model work anymore? You know, why did my local newspaper just give up on classified advertising? Maybe they could have even knocked it down in cost. Craigslist charges $5 for a classified ad. I put classified ads on Craigslist when I'm looking for writers or ad sellers for my newspaper, Campus News. And I find that it's just, the reason why I do it is because it's quickest. But I get a lot of BS responses. I recently sold a car via Craigslist, and I was getting all kinds of crazy responses. I'd get, you know, some guy from, I would have a long listing about everything about this car, everything about it. I'm an honest person. And they'd call, and they'd be like, oh, I'm calling about the car, okay? What kind of car is it? Well, did you read the listing? You know, it says it's a convertible from 2000. Why don't you do want for it? Well, it says it right in the ad what I want for it. You know, can you look at that? And the people on Craigslist, they're just illiterate. There's something wrong with them. Read any 20 Craigslist ads. I'd bet 19 are functionally illiterate. They're just horrible. And at least a newspaper ad, you know, you only have a certain number of words. So you're going to be, you know, you're going to edit yourself. You're going to make sure it's okay. And then the newspaper itself might have someone who's reasonably intelligent look at your ad before it goes into print, and then the ad's there, and that seems a lot more classy. So why wouldn't that model work for the print newspaper? I know it requires an extra step. You can't just say, oh, I feel like putting an ad on, and let me just, and then you go on Craigslist, type in your credit card info, and then there's your ad 2 seconds later. It requires you actually dealing with someone at a newspaper. And, you know, then they can send you a credit card link. All right, so it's one extra step, and it won't appear until the next day. And the newspapers have been very steadfast in sticking to their prices that held weight in the 90s, but that you can't really charge anymore. So the ad in the local paper might be $20, $30, and the ad on Craigslist is $5. So, you know, of course people are going to go to Craigslist, but you get a lot of garbage that way. And you'll get a lot of people trying to scam you, too. So you get all kinds of scammy stuff. But the whole online thing makes, you know, makes the process a little less fair. They can see you. They want you to log in with your LinkedIn or your Facebook, usually, when you're going to some job site. So then they can see your picture. Oh, he's an old white guy, you know, or he's a, you know, a fat black man, or he's a, or he's a she, or he's old, or he's young, or he's whatever. They can see that through the picture. Is that fair? You know, oh, he's in a wheelchair. Oh, she's, you know, she's ugly. I don't want to hire her. So is that fair? That doesn't seem fair. At least if you apply and you get called in for an interview, and all right, yeah, you're fat, you're ugly, you're old, you're young, you're whatever. You're a race they don't happen to like. At least you can wow them with your personality, because a lot of times when people meet face to face, you can win them over. You know, you see a lot of ugly guys with good-looking girlfriends and good-looking guys with ugly girlfriends, and you know, you could win someone over with your charms sometimes. So at least that levels the playing field a little. Yeah, if it's a jerky hiring, you know, officer. They could say, oh yeah, that woman was really hot. I think I'll hire her or not. But at least you have a fighting chance with the old-fashioned way of applying for something. So I don't see why the ads wouldn't work in print, and you'd probably get a better batch of applications. It's just that the newspaper, not even in their own newspaper, they're not even saying, hey, call us about classifieds. They don't even have a house ad saying that they're selling classified ads. They're just taking the handful of people who happen to, maybe they've always traditionally advertised in the classified section and they have a budget for it, or maybe by law they have to advertise in a print newspaper. There still are some jurisdictions that require that, and they haven't changed the law yet. Those are the only people advertising at this point in time. So the classified ad section is almost nothing in this paper. And even the print job of my local newspaper, it doesn't seem like that care has gone into it. My local newspaper stopped using their own press, and they work with another paper that is a mercenary and prints for them. And that paper doesn't care about some other paper that's 50 miles away. And, you know, there's no one's riding them. So if the paper doesn't come out looking that sharp, if it looks a little dull and the inks look a little blurred and everything, there's no one really minding the store. And I always get the question, will newspapers still be around in 10 years? And I don't see the business model per se disappearing. It doesn't necessarily have to disappear. Advertisers could still be in it, just not what there used to be. It won't be the 1990s where everyone ravenously read the newspaper, the print newspaper, and it won't convert to online, so it's not like they can just make up the lost money online. Everyone thought there'd be a pot of gold online, and there isn't, unless you're Google or Facebook or Amazon or something like that. There's no pot of gold for average Joes. And even someone just recently did a survey. Google News keeps pumping out stories from the same 5 or 10 publishers. So a publisher like me, if I write the same exact story as Huffington Post or CNN, if I write the same exact story, even if I write it better, if I write a better story, I will get 100 hits, and CNN will get 10,000 hits. And that's just the way it is. And they don't quite know the exact reason for it. Is it because the people at CNN are better at SEO? Are they, you know, is there some kind of pay-to-play partnership going on here? No one quite knows what the problem is, but it is a problem. So, yeah, there's no money to be had unless you are a New York Times or something like that. And you have all the ins, and you leverage your power to woo the Googles and the Facebooks of the world, which I don't have. So there's no money online. And certain ads still can resonate if you can prove that people are picking up your paper and reading it. And it's not impossible to prove that. You know, you deliver 100 papers to a rack and 99 are there when you get back. That proves you have a 99% pickup rate for that rack, and then you'd multiply it by all the racks you have and you get a number. Campus News, for example, we aim to be in the 90s. A lot of times we're at 95%, 95% pickup. You almost never get 100% because that means you're not delivering enough papers. So you want to have a few left over just to prove that you're not printing too few. You want to just know that you're hitting the market. But I'd love to see an online ad that hits 90% of its audience. I bet a lot of it's hitting bots. They're hitting people that accidentally click on things. There's something called a click farm. Click farms in developing countries where people get paid a penny a click just to click on things. Could be the competitors clicking on the ads just to drum up their cost per click price. Podcasts, for example, can be easily... A lot of people claim, oh yeah, this podcast gets 1 million listeners. No, it doesn't. It gets 1 million downloads. We don't know who's downloading it. Could be a computer. Could be someone subscribed to that podcast in 2007 and they never took the subscription off of their podcast app, and they have so it downloads their podcast app, but they don't listen to it. I bet podcast numbers, you know, except for little podcasts like this one, but for the major podcasts that have been around 5-10 years, I bet their podcast numbers are half or a quarter of what they say they are. So if they say they get 100,000, they probably only get 25,000. That's nothing to sneeze at, but it's not quite having a 95% pickup rate like my newspaper does. So if you can prove stuff like that, that they're picking it up, and then I do little contests through the paper to prove that these are real people, and people respond to the contests. So that has really reinvigorated the paper in the past couple of years. I'm giving away 6 Flags tickets right now. So the little contests and the pickup rates, and I take pictures, you know, or whoever's delivering takes pictures of all the racks and before and after, and we get to see, like, what the pickup rate is. So if you could prove that, you can continue to get advertisers. You can say, hey, we have a very selective audience, and they are a niche of some sort. Whatever your niche is, there's people that deliver new wave type magazines to like crystal shops. There are you know, publications that are catered to a particular county, like you know, whatever, Westchester County, you know, some county, and they'll deliver to all the grocery stores there. So those advertisers might want to hit that audience. I hit college campuses, so someone might want that campaign. I got an inquiry, some guy's mowing the lawn, got an inquiry from Amma the Hugging Saint, who wants to be in college papers because she's coming to New York and Massachusetts in the summer, and she's Amma the Hugging Saint. So I looked her up, and Amma the Hugging Saint is this famous person. These people, you know, some of these mystics, they get a lot of audience, so I think our newspaper would be a good venue for them. I'll put an ad in there, and they can publicize Amma the Hugging Saint. She'll give you a hug, and you're 100 times better. You're healed. So, some guy's mowing. You know, some people have, like, a little lawn. They have, like, I was looking at ads for lawnmowers, and some lawnmowers are, like, $4,000 or $5,000. It's, who has that kind of money? I don't have that kind of money for a lawnmower, $4,000 or $5,000, and they have a little lawn like that. You'd have to be a real geek, you know, like a lawnmower geek. You'd have to be a simpleton in a way to buy like that much of a lawnmower for a little lawn. I have an acre, and I just have a push mower. It has automatic like traction, but it's a push mower, and or I'll throw a few bucks to the kid next door who drives his dad's mower. His dad has a riding mower. I'll say, hey, here's $20. Go at it. Drive around. Have fun. And he'll go have fun and mow, and it's just all flat land. But yeah, I don't get the lawnmower thing. I guess that guy isn't traveling much, because I think all my disposable income goes to taxes and travel, and that's it. Like, that's all the income. So yeah, I think a newspaper could survive. Why not? Why couldn't one survive? There's no reason why not. But when I get asked about the business model, the big sticking point I see are the printing presses. What's happening is there are very few independent printing presses that don't have a publication of their own. I know of one in New Jersey, and they just do outside jobs only. That's all they do. But almost every other printing press is tied to a daily newspaper. And a lot of these newspapers are barely hanging on. So they're barely hanging on in their area. The printing plants I deal with are barely hanging on. So, and a lot of them are consolidating their efforts, like I mentioned before. Like, they're teaming up with another daily paper to print. Eventually, as these daily papers go out of business, there'll be fewer and fewer printing plants. The other complaint I'm hearing is it's all old guys working at the printing plant. So, who's the next generation to keep these big printing presses going? They're complicated. They require a lot of work. Printing is an art. And to get the paper to print just right, it's kind of an art. Yeah, you can computerize it a little. But I was working with one of those computerized printers where they didn't really require plates. It would just print straight and you got every page color. But it didn't look that good. It would look stretched out. It would look kind of blah. A couple of the advertisers complained at the way it looked. So I had to go back to a boutique printer that kind of dealt with plates and put a little bit of care into the look of the paper. And I'm happy with the print experience now, but what's going to happen when these boutique printers that work for smaller papers go out of business? And then what? You know, they, or machines start to wear down and they don't replace parts and they can't make a better newspaper. So if the newspapers start to look ugly, uglier and uglier, people will pick them up less and less at a time when we need the newspapers to look better and better. You know, I strive, I work with the printer to try to make the newspaper look better and better, and it certainly looks better than it did 10 years ago. But how many people working at a newspaper have that level of care anymore? I don't find that level of care in the newsrooms, and my local newspaper exemplifies this, but I see this with a lot of other newspapers. I look at their print job, and I say, wow, you know, they really could have used a little bit more ink, and maybe they shouldn't run the press as fast, because you can run it at different speeds so that you get better clarity. So, yeah, maybe they should have, you know, done this or that. So if you have a printing plant gang printing a bunch of papers, they're just going to pound them out and not really care. And they can't afford to pay their employees well, and they're not getting the next generation of employees. That's the big stumbling block for the business model. We'll have to keep shopping printers. I've gone through 5 printers in the past 10 years. We'll have to keep shopping printers. And eventually we'll run out of printers. So I don't see the business model disappearing per se. I don't see digital as the future. I just hope that the printers can stay in business. And I almost would. You know, printing is one of those jobs where you don't need to have studied the classics. You could have just learned it as a trade. If I were, you know, making millions off of my newspaper, which I'm not, I could see having like a local apprentice program with a community college in the area and having a 2-year degree program in printing, and then having a printing plant and hiring these people to show some love for print and to print a really good product and make it something people could be proud of. Because where I see the future of print is daily newspapers, the small dailies slowly going out of business, if not in the next 2-3 years. And I see these papers struggling. My local paper has less and less stories. They have one guy writing half the stories for my daily paper. This guy's going to burn out. Young kid, I guess he is. And then, and the older people, they just can't keep up anymore. So they're going to burn out. And then the printing plants that they're associated with are going to have trouble staying afloat. And then we're going to be in trouble. But what I do see surviving are weekly and monthly newspapers and niche newspapers, especially ones that don't charge a cover price, still existing and being like an artisan type newspaper where it's run by some people that really care, and they put it out and they put some care into it. They put care into the writing, the editing, but they do everything on a shoestring. And it isn't what it was, but it'll have longer form stories, more feature stories, more deep reads, less wire copy, less events listings, things of that nature, less press releases, less reporting of government meetings, and more long form stuff. So that's probably the future of what's going to happen. So dailies will become weeklies and monthlies, and hopefully we can keep the printing presses going. But that's going to be my big concern in the next 10 years, is finding printing presses that can do my job, do it affordably, and make it look decent. That's a lot to ask for. All right, so those are my thoughts on my struggling local newspaper. I wanted to pound out a podcast. And even though it's summer and I don't really have the same schedule anymore, I was driving my daughter to school, but she's done with that. And now it's vacation season, so we have some vacations planned. And I'm still trying to move some ads for Campus News, my newspaper. Hopefully Amma the Hugging Saint buys one. I sold one today on the cover of the paper, a little 4x3 space, and then it'll point to some advertorial inside the paper. Advertorial is copy that's written by the client, and it's a little different than editorial. It might be about something that they're interested in. So if you would like to sell ads for us or and you really don't really, even if you don't really quite know what you're doing, but you're a forward-thinking, positive person, then contact me. Or maybe there's some partnership we can do. Contact me on that, and we'll try to forge into this future of journalism. All the old rules are gone, and to survive, we're going to have our own new rules. So contact me to get involved. You can write to cccn at cccn.us. Darren Johnson, go to campusxm.com, and you can find more there. All right, so I think I will wind down. We're at the 26-minute mark. It's Darren Johnson checking out. Buy my book, Professor Mule. It is now available in paperback, so you can get it real cheap and get it for paperback, or the e-editions even cheaper. So do that. Have a good summer read. You'll enjoy it. It's about a college professor who gets into a lot of trouble. He starts trafficking a drug. All right, so that's all I'm going to tell you. It's better than Game of Thrones, so you'll like that. It's not like some dragon coming out and, you know, naked women running around and ogres and little people and, you know, wizards. And I don't get the popularity of that show. I really don't. I don't understand pop culture. The Bachelorette's a show on now. I don't get it. The woman isn't even that good looking, and she has like 30 guys vying for what? Why? She doesn't even have a job. I could see if, like, it's someone with a really good job, and you're like, all right, I want to be with this person because I respect their career. They're a public defender attorney, and they defend the little guy, and they have a high sense of integrity. Or they're a pediatrician, and he devotes a year, you know, of every other year he devotes to helping indigent children in the developing world, or she. Or this person is a world-class poet, and her words sing, you know, or she's a painter, or he's a painter, or something. I could see having that respect for the person in a three-dimensional way. But on these Bachelor, Bachelorette shows, they're usually like have some fake position, like race car driver, you know, and meanwhile you look them up and they've never really been a race car driver. Or the last guy was a football player, but all he did was he played college football. Great. That's hard to do. You know, I didn't do it. I played lacrosse, so I didn't play college football. I would have liked to, but I didn't. And he tried out for the practice squad, but he wasn't drafted or anything. And they kept saying he was a football player, like a 26-year-old football player that never played football for a living. Odd, I don't know. And this one was Miss Alabama, this bachelorette. And, all right, so I guess she's good looking. Not my type, I guess. But that's it. Like, is that something? Maybe in the South, where people have trophy wives, or anyone who wants a trophy wife that carries some weight. Oh, yeah, his wife is Miss Alabama. I guess maybe that could help you in a business networking wine and cheese event. But, I don't know. So, I guess getting Prof. Mule, Professor Mule, it's about an adjunct who does bad things, does it for his wife who needs help. Give it a read. You can find more info on profmule.com, or just go on barnesandnoble.com or amazon.com and get it there. The hard copy is on Barnes & Noble, and the digital is on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So check it out. All right, I'm going to end this podcast, and that's that. All right, so go listen to some music, relax, enjoy the sunny weather, and have a nice day, everyone. Bye.